Welcome to the Bird's Eye View podcast. I'm Zach Berman alongside Jeff McClain, and we are here at Lincoln Financial Field after the Eagles' 38-31 win over the Miami Dolphins in the third preseason game. The final tune-up for the starters, and really what mattered in this game was the first quarter. That's how long the starters played, a departure from what coaches usually do in this third preseason game. And that's where we'll start, Jeff. What did you think about the way Doug Peterson handled the playing time tonight?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of plays in the first quarter. So I can't kill him in that regard.
As you mentioned, it's not per usual for a first-team offensive defense just to play a quarter. And it wasn't like they played a lot in the first and second preseason game. So it's not like they got in a lot of reps. You did the math on all these. Why don't you tell everybody exactly what it was, at least compared to last year, right?
Yeah, so it was, I believe, 18 fewer offensive snaps compared to last season and significantly more for the defense. Offhand, I don't know the number. I can look that up. I believe it was around 40 fewer snaps for
the
defense.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And a lot of that was because they played pretty deep into the third quarter last season in that Colts game.
Did they? And it's because they've also played pretty well in this preseason. I mean, not as well this week, but the previous two, they were getting off the field.
Yes. And it's a little harder to compute the defensive stats because, like, in the first preseason game this year, the corners stayed on the field longer.
Right.
First preseason
right.
game last year, the defensive linemen stayed on the field longer. But in general, it was a significant difference from a year ago. I asked Malcolm Jenkins about it after the game. Malcolm said he was surprised that they got pulled so early tonight. He was expecting them to play longer. He thinks that because of the practices against Miami, that contributed to it, and that's what Doug
That's what Doug said, yeah. I mean, on the offensive side, Torrey Smith said the same thing. Carson Wentz said the same thing. They were all surprised. Lane Johnson, they thought they would have gone into the second half or at least play the entire first half. So, I don't want to make a big deal out of it. Most important, you don't want anyone significant to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And they managed.
They're unscathed.
And they managed to avoid that. Not only in this preseason game, but
training camp.
Since the start of training camp, no one is really the only thing that's really of concern. And we'll talk about this later. I think is Nick Foles.
Sure, but only two starters were down tonight,
and they're expected to be back for the season.
Yeah, that's Jordan Hicks and Brandon Graham, and there's not much concern there. So yeah, they are as healthy as they've been going into a regular season.
Okay,
as they've been for a while.
But if I'm going to play devil's advocate on this, I'll point out that Carson Wentz. It's still young.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the opportunity to give him more reps in the preseason, you take it. Certainly, you don't want him playing the entire game, but if the Dolphins are willing to put their first, actually, even if their second team defense, let them go out there and have a little success, then maybe you want to see that. It wasn't like the offense has been clicking these three games. It wasn't like they've been playing great. Even that last drive, they had to go up tempo again, which is interesting that Doug felt like he needed to do that on both occasions to get the offense going. They did score a touchdown on the first drive, but it was a deep one, and the next two, the second one stalled, and then on the third one, Carson threw an interception. So I don't know if I'm Doug Peterson. I feel very confident about the offense just after less than three quarters of play. On the defensive side of the ball, I guess I feel a little, if I'm Jim Schwartz, I feel a little better about my unit. They weren't as sharp this week. Now, they weren't playing good quarterbacks in the first 2 weeks. They had Jay Cutler out there today. Now, I don't think Jay Cutler is a world beater, but Jay Cutler is better than
Brett Hundley. Yeah, and he's better than Tyrod Taylor.
So, I mean, that kind of, we thought the defense was looking great this first 2 weeks. Well, I mean, they were good today. Finney Curry had a turnover. I'm talking about the first unit.
No, but four turnovers now for the first team defense.
Since, right.
And just to correct the number I gave before, it's 34 fewer snaps than 1 year ago for the defense.
Zach, so you've got to be.
I just want to be
a
precise.
Journalist. Yeah. I like that. I like that.
But
what do you think? Seriously, honestly, what we can say now, we can at least. The next preseason game, the starters aren't going to play, and a lot of the significant players aren't going to play. Before we go on to Carson Wentz, because I want to talk about him a little more in detail, like, what do you think what do you think of the team now? This is the last we're going to see of this team basically until September 10th.
I thought they were going to go longer. After that 93-yard touchdown drive, I wasn't surprised that Peterson pulled them. Doug, for better or worse, has been pretty consistent in his message this summer. Everything has been about September 10th in Washington. He's brought it up time and time again, more so than coaches typically do. You know, oftentimes you hear coaches talk one day at a time.
But is this a team that, like, you're saying, oh, I just want to give them September 10th?
No, this isn't the New England Patriots. It's not.
No.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's where I think they could have used some more work. And when you put that 93-yard drive together and you see Blount have a big carry, Jeffrey have two catches, I would have liked to see another drive like that and kind of build off it.
Well, without tempo.
Yeah, but I think he wanted to leave on a good note, too, and that was a good way to leave for him.
Okay. All right, yeah. I mean, I'm just playing a little devil's advocate.
No, I agree. I was really surprised that – I didn't think they were going to stretch that long.
Right.
But one quarter, I thought you would see a little more than one quarter.
I mean, we'll definitely talk about the team more in detail and really looking forward to the season. But, again, like I said, this is the last we're going to see of them before
– Before Washington, yeah.
Before Washington. What do you think of the I mean, who cares about next week?
Yeah, I think
the defense will be good.
I'm not a preseason guy to begin with. I don't think the preseason's that important. So
I'm putting you on the spot. You don't want to put in the spot.
No,
you want to think about it.
No, I will answer. I think that they are an 8-8, 9-7 team. That if things break right, they could try to get 10 games. They could try to get 10 wins. If things go wrong, they get an injury, it could be 7 wins. I don't think they're, you know, one of the top teams in the conference. I don't think they're going to pick in the top 10 next year.
Right. In other words, they're pretty much exactly what I thought. You thought coming into training camp, and I think I would say the same thing.
Well,
I think they are.
Yeah, where I'll say that they're better is they didn't have Ronald Darby to begin training camp. Now, Darby didn't have a great night tonight, but I think the cornerbacks are better than I thought going into camp.
Yeah.
The running game is a bigger concern than I thought going into
camp. And I think the offensive line's a bigger concern than we thought.
Interesting. You think so? Based on what you saw tonight or just...
Just what I've seen the all three night. I think they're not going to be as bad as they've been in these first three games. I think I've seen this before. I've been down this road before with the offensive line where they look like junk in the preseason. And the season comes around and then they're going back to it. This is way back even to Andy Reid years. That being said, I just don't get this whole kind of, like, elite unit. I don't get this whole thing. Like, you know, I can see where they're, you know, Jason Peters is great, probably a Hall of Famer. He's still playing at a high level.
I agree with that.
But he's 35. Mm-hmm. Okay? He's 35.
That's a fact. Like,
that is a fact. He's a 35. Yeah. There are not many 35-year-olds starting left tackles.
No, that's okay? Correct.
This is the first time, actually, in the NFL that there's been two over 35 starting left tackles. Andrew Whitworth, who's now with the Rams since, like, I think 2001 or something like that.
That's interesting.
Okay. So, Lane Johnson.
I think he's elite.
I think he's good. I think he's really good. I don't know if he's elite yet, but I don't think right tackles are elite. But I don't – he hasn't played great out here.
Not this summer. No, not in the preseason.
Jason Kelsey hasn't played great either. Isaac Seumalo hasn't played great either.
No, but that's one that concerns me.
And, yeah.
Because Isaac doesn't have to demonstrate a performance. I mean, you see
– Right.
Look, I've seen Lane Johnson play at a high level. I've seen Kelsey play at a high level. I've seen Brandon Brooks play at a high level.
I think Lane's going to be fine.
Yeah.
He's still in an age where you're not worried about it. Brandon Brooks, I think, will be fine. And then Jason, I mean, I still think there's some legitimate concern
Kelsey.
There. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't understand why everyone thinks this O line is going to be – I think they'll be good. I think there's a good O line, but – Anyway, let's. You want to move on?
let's talk about Carson for a moment.
I got us off track there, but I was just thinking this is the last time we're going to see him.
Yeah.
So.
Have you seen enough mechanically from him to say that the problems from last year are solved?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, they could probably rear their ugly heads every now and then, and we've seen that here and there. But yeah, he looks. I mean, just think about where he was last year versus where he is now. Now, we shouldn't be comparing it to last preseason. You should be comparing it to the end of last season. But even at the end of last season, I think he finished on an upswing. But I feel that still he was just kind of getting to the finish line there. He was exhausted. He was tired. He was still kind of having moments where things were not going his way in terms of the throwing mechanics. There have been throws this preseason that have been good, impressive ones. He hit Jeffrey on a dig 20 yards down the field. Jeffrey had to make a little bit of a diving catch for it, but that's still a good throw, I think, in that situation. Ertzy hit a few times in stride. Good touchdown pass to Jeffrey when he kind of drew the defense with his eyes towards Nelson Aguilar in the flat, and then zipped a rope to Jeffrey on the slant through a little window there, and then the touchdown pass to Torrey Smith. The ball wobbled a little bit. Maybe it was a slightly underthrow, but he got it there. He did what he had to do. Torrey didn't have to slow down that much. And that was a good play. He got the touchdown. So there's been enough. And the two previous weeks, there have been throws as well where I thought Carson looked good too. I want to see a lot more before I start saying that he's going to take this kind of leap or whatever. I still think that he's moving in the right direction. I think we're going to see a better quarterback than we saw last year. How about you?
Yes. Now, I think the receivers are really going to help him. You and I haven't always seen eye to eye on Alshon.
No. What do you mean?
When they
I
were
think
signing
he's good.
Him, okay. When they were signing him, I was saying, he's like, this is a true number one. And you were
no,
like,
I think he's a good. I think he's a true number one. What was my beef with him?
It was just coming off 2 years where he had the suspension last
year.
Yeah,
I'm worried about him being able to play all 16.
Okay. And that's fair. We'll see what. He was hurt this preseason as well.
Yeah.
I think that. I mean, you just see the physical presence out there. If they continue on this path, I think that's going to be a really good combination.
Well, that 20-yard dig, I mean, that was like, he made that look like nothing.
Yes.
That's just like a regular catch for him.
I agree.
There's no one else on this. There's been no one else on this team that can make that catch look regular since. I mean, Macklin can make catches like that look. Macklin's not Alshon Jeffrey.
No.
He's not.
No, he's not.
Not in that category. And I don't think even Deshaun is. Deshaun's a different receiver. Jeffrey's better.
Yes.
When healthy.
Now Nelson Aguilar's been quiet. And they're going to need that slot position, whether it's Nelson, whether it's Ertz, Trey Burton, Zach, Darren Sproles, they can put in there.
I wrote about that a little bit, just saying how, like, only one pass completed between Wentz and Aguilar during the preseason. And what, he had, like, four to Jordan Matthews in the first preseason game. I don't think it was four. I think it was three.
It's three.
But
I think it was first four. Yeah, then the fourth
was
at home.
Now, maybe they were featuring him there because they knew that they're going to trade him. But that's just a comfort he had with Jordan. I haven't really seen it there with Nelson. Now, does he have to have 75 catches for 900 yards like Jordan did last year? I don't think so.
No, but you need to have a reliable
And I don't think he's going to. Well, but then I think that's where, as you mentioned, I think Zach Ertz is going to come in to play.
I can see both Ertz and Alshon over 75 catches.
Yeah,
and then a big drop off for the next guy, whether that's Sproles,
Torrey, or Nelson. Will probably be like those three. Will probably.
I don't think it's gonna be Nelson. I think it's gonna be Sproles or Torrey Smith. I don't think it's gonna be Torrey Smith. Frankly, I think Torrey Smith will be what you saw.
He's just a guy. Yeah.
I think he'll have games where he has these big plays, and he'll help you stretch the defense. But I think Sproles. I'll say this.
Yeah, we haven't seen him. We haven't seen him at all.
We haven't seen. They've kept him on ice, and I think Sproles changes the dynamic of the offense. I think he's the best running back they have, and part of that's because I'm not very high on their running back group. But I would give him a chance to be your featured back because I don't think Blunt's the featured back, and I don't think
Smallwood's
the featured back.
Smallwood ran pretty well today.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And he's had a good summer.
But he can't block on third down. That's a concern there.
Carson,
but here's the thing. Sproles is your third down. Sproles will be down on your third guy. I think you'll see. I think, remember our early over-under on LeGarrette Blount was, what, 170?
Yes, I'm going under.
I'm going under now.
Yeah, I'm going under there, too.
I think, I don't know if I went under or over. I think I went under initially. I think you went over.
But that's a good I don't think Blunt's going to get a lot of cash. I didn't think when
if he makes the team.
Yeah. Now, I don't think they would cut him for someone on their roster.
No,
roster.
No. Yeah.
I want to throw some water on this, and tell me if you think I'm wrong. This Corey Clement and Donnell Pumphrey competition, Doug was asked about it. I think Donnell Pumphrey's going to be on the team unless they can stash him on IR. I don't think they're cutting a fourth round.
They're not and a fourth round pick they traded up for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well said.
Yeah.
I don't think they're
not going anywhere. He's a guy that they feel like they can develop. I don't know if that's going to be the case, but they can't
cut bait on him now.
Plus, you only have 46 guys dressed on game day anyways. You need some players to be your developmental players, like what Dylan Gordon was last year. And I think he fits into that category.
Yeah, I think in the spring we were like, oh, this kid's going to be part of the offense, whatever, because like we're again, just another example of why you should. And now, like, we weren't thinking that, but we were talking about it because they were they had him in the first. They get so much work. They're running a lot of plays with him in the first team. But we've seen less and less and less of that as the weeks have gone on. He seems like he's just kind of he looks like a rookie. He looks like a guy that's just not ready to step in.
I would tell him to learn from Darren Sproles this year.
He's got to get stronger.
Yes.
He's got to get stronger. He's got to get stronger.
Now, let's talk about Nick Foles, because this is a bigger story than we might be than we've probably written about so far, because it reemerged this week. It's an important injury for two reasons. First off, your backup quarterback's important, but also they need to know that he's healthy enough to play week one if they need him, or else they'll need to carry three quarterbacks, and that changes your roster math. Should Eagles fans be concerned about number nine?
Yeah. So he came back about a little over a week ago.
Mm-hmm. In a limited capacity.
Limited capacity, was full. Sunday, Monday, and then Monday on the first day of inter-squad practice with the Dolphins, they did a lot of team drills. Mm-hmm. So he threw a lot.
Yes. And that's what Doug Peterson said. Yeah.
And, well, okay, but why is he throwing a lot there?
That's another valid question.
He's coming off an elbow injury, and you didn't play him the first two preseason games, and you have him throwing. You know, he probably threw about, like, 30, 40 passes, maybe even more than that.
And he was sore afterwards. That's what Doug said.
And then they didn't have him practice on Tuesday. Well, okay. You're saying that it's just a rest day, whatever. I mean, I thought it was a tough workout for everybody involved, but certainly for the quarterbacks, because McGloin didn't really jump in much at all. It was mainly the ones and twos. Now, they had a little more of the threes on the second day, but Foles was out, so that meant more Mac McGloin and Dane Evans played for the third team. I'm drifting here a little bit. But to answer your questions, yes, I'd be concerned about it. It's an elbow, and he's a quarterback, and he throws with that elbow. You know, it's like a pitcher. It's a rotational position. He's going to be you worry about the shoulder, and you worry about the elbow. And we've seen this before in pitchers in Major League Baseball. They get sore. Next thing you know, teams are asking whether we should shut them down for a while or we should have surgery. Yeah. Now, they haven't mentioned anything about surgery. I don't know. I've talked to Nick a little bit about it, so have you. He's told me before he's never had arm issues before. Now, this was in reference to a story I was doing about Carson Wentz warming up.
Yeah.
To doing this whole stretching routine, as you knew as well, that he started doing this off season, and Nick's like, yeah, I haven't really ever had to do that. I just go out there and throw, and I'm ready to go. And then he's like, well, maybe I need to, because now I'm hurt.
And he's focusing on that. I think fans should be concerned because of reemerge. And when he came back to practice, he said it was behind him. And, you know, he figured out what the problem was. He figured out how he could kind of prepare that elbow. And now it comes back really after one day of intense work.
Right.
That's not a good sign, and they need to figure this out, because, like I said, if you carry Matt McGloin on your roster, you're taking away a young player from a different spot.
Here's the question. I don't think he's going to play in the fourth preseason game. Now, Doug said that he hadn't decided yet, but there's no benefit right now, I think, to have him go out there and throw.
I would play him.
What if his elbow hurts?
I want to see if he can respond from it.
No, but if his elbow hurts,
still sore on Thursday.
My guess is it's probably still going to be sore.
If his elbow's still sore on Thursday,
I don't even think you do that, because last time his elbow wasn't sore, and then all of a sudden he started throwing. He needs to be shut down for a while.
I mean, but that's what he was last time.
They signed him to a contract.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. They paid him. But they also need to figure out, if Carson Wentz goes down this year, which he did in the preseason last year, which he did in his senior year of college.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's anybody. Who's stepping in? A chin strap away, as Chip Kelly used to say.
Yes, exactly. The reason they were willing to pay Chase Daniel to leave, basically, and pay Nick Foles to come, is because they wanted Foles as an upgrade. If you don't have Foles, that's a problem. And not just a problem, that's bad for Howie Roseman, because They could have allocated that money elsewhere. It's not just money that they're paying Nick.
Yeah.
It's money that they ate on the Chase Daniel contract.
Well, so they're going to have to start looking at a lot of film of other quarterbacks around the league, because I just don't think Matt McGloin's going to be the guy you want to carry on the roster. Now, he's played the entire offseason with you. He knows the offense, so you feel comfortable in that regard. But I can't feel comfortable putting him out there against – I mean, like, being your number two quarterback, if no,
but
if you're gonna
bring
ready.
Someone in who just learns the offense. I mean, that's the thing about it. They can try to get someone to know.
Well, it's happened before. I mean, yeah. It's a system that a lot of quarterbacks around the league know. Not just because it's West Coast offense, because so many coaches use it.
That are from
Bill Walsh, Mike Holmgren, Andy Reid tree. Donovan McNabb.
I think it's all a play for Doug to get back out on the field.
No. Well, he loves talking about his playing days.
Yes. The second, a quick aside here, Doug was asked by, I guess, a Miami reporter about the Don Shula game, about Don Shula setting the record. And I've never seen Doug happier than at that moment, talking about him playing at Veterans Stadium, winning that record.
But it wasn't the top moment of his career.
Second top.
Winning the Super Bowl.
Winning the Super Bowl is number one, as it should be.
Winning the Super Bowl. Well, I mean, watching Brett Favre win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
His face lit up. He was getting asked all kinds of questions from us, and that question came. His face lit up. There.
Yeah. I guess that really wraps things up. I'm looking at the stat sheet here. I'm seeing if there's anything that we want to touch on just real quick. So I'm sure that the guys listening
I have one question for you here. And we'll address it this week, too. We'll make sure we do a podcast before the Jets game.
Yeah.
But the starters are going to start preparing for Washington this week, and then they're finishing the evaluations of the down the depth chart players. What's the one competition you're most looking forward to this week going into the Jets game?
There really aren't many competitions left, right? I guess it's the slot corner spot, right? Is there anything else?
Well, in terms of roster spots, there's definitely.
Oh, roster spots, yeah.
Because that's going to be the Jets.
Well, game. I mean, I'm just looking at the stat sheet now. I mean, I'll get back to that a little bit, but I'm just Michael Kendricks had an interception.
Yeah.
How about his preseason?
I know. Easy. Yes.
Is this stock as high as it's ever been in terms of trading?
Maybe so. I mean,
but now Gary has a hamstring injury. Yeah. I don't know if they're good in the depth department.
Although it is interesting to point out tonight, I'm glad you brought that up. First team nickel, Najee Good over Michael Kendricks. What do you make of that?
Just because he was playing the mic, and I feel like they feel more comfortable having someone in there to set the line. I mean, I don't think Mike's really good at doing that.
Yeah, and I don't think.
I think whoever's the mic is going to be in there on all three
that's
downs.
Interesting.
So, but what you know, I'm still wondering like. Joe Walker had a pretty good game again. I didn't watch all of it, but from what I've seen, every time I look up, he's making a play.
Yeah, but Najee's
ahead of him.
I like Najee. I think they've done a disservice to Najee these past years.
He missed
years.
A tackle tonight. It was bad.
I mean, he's quick.
I like him on special teams. I don't like him really much on defense.
I don't want to say screwed him over. I don't know if I can say that on here either.
You can say whatever the hell you want.
The past two cutdown days, they've let him go basically because they don't want to guarantee a salary, and they've brought him back both times.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see what they do there.
Can I bring a couple of defensive things?
Yes, please.
Well, you mentioned Ronald Darby. He did not have a good game. And there's some good receivers on that Miami team. I mean, Devontae Parker. I was probably a little hard on Darby initially. Just said that, you know, he did mistime his jump a little bit, but he had inside. Leverage on him. He had him kind of covered. Parker just made a great play, and it was a good pass. Yeah. I mean, and he hustled to run him down. But there were a couple other moments where he just
the pass interference and stills.
He missed a tackle.
Yeah.
But Derek Barnett had a start tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Did not show up in the stat sheet.
Yes, that's true.
He's gonna be terrible. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No.
He's going up against Juwan James on that side. Yeah. Although Vinny Curry,
that's what I want to talk about.
Beat Tunsil.
Sack.
Yeah.
And a forced fumble.
Mm-hmm.
And he really hadn't done much in the first. So, you know, if you're the Eagles, you feel good about Barnett, but you like seeing Vinny Curry come out and do something because he's been very quiet not only in the preseason but in training camp. But in terms of roster spot battles, you and I had this discussion. This is actually a good one. I only have a few more moments left, but. I think I would take Billy Brown over Trey Burton.
I would not. I mean, to me, it shouldn't even be a competition. Trey Burton, I think he showed you last year what he can do offensively. 30-plus catches. I think he's a valuable special teams player. Billy Brown.
Did he have 30-plus catches? I don't remember any of them.
Yeah, well, Cincinnati played really well.
Yeah, because they moved him to the slot.
They moved him to slot.
I'm not a huge...
I mean, I don't think he's a star.
I'm not a huge Burton guy.
But
I think he's a pretty... What about Kinball 4?
He had 37 catches, 327 touchdowns last year.
He's a good special teams guy. I just think he's a little overrated. He had a drop pass tonight. He had a penalty on special teams.
Yes. He's had some penalties. Yeah.
Billy Brown, to me,
is a special teams player. I'm sorry, not a special teams player. A practice squad player.
I think he's got some talent.
I see he's a converted receiver. I stash him. I keep working with him. The roster comp.
No surprises.
It's not a down the depth chart one, but I think it's a real important one. I don't think they keep both Ron Brooks and Patrick Robinson. I think they're going to keep one of those guys. Based on what I've seen, I'd probably keep Patrick Robinson because he has inside-outside combination.
Yeah, he played pretty well.
Ron Brooks he played well last year before the injury.
He's Jim Schwartz's boy.
Yeah, and he can contribute on special teams too. So I'm real curious to see what they do with that spot.
Yeah, Jalen Watkins played corner and had an interception in the end zone.
I give Jalen credit. And Malcolm Jenkins mentioned this tonight. Every camp, it's like they're just changing his position. He's going back and forth, which you can say it helps him in terms of versatility. It doesn't help him because they moved him because they signed Corey Grant.
No, and all you could talk about last year was how much it benefited him just playing
just
safety.
To play one spot, yeah.
So you can't go back, you know, and say, oh, yeah, this is good for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, of course, I asked him, and he says, yeah, this is good for me because it gives me some more versatility in terms of making the team.
He's trying everything he can. He showed up tonight. He had that interception in the end zone.
It was a horrible pass.
And it was a nice return. But, I think he's going to be on the outside looking.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll talk a little more about this roster stuff after.
Yeah, we'll catch up Wednesday. Just a quick housekeeping note for you.
Monday, we'll probably do.
Monday, yes. Check out. Or I should say, go to us on iTunes, rate us, leave comments. We'll be checking them out, and we'll try to incorporate anything you have into the show. But until next time, it's Jeff McClain. I'm Zach Berman. This is the Bird's Eye View Podcast.